The NFL draft just days away. The anticipation is mounting, but so are the questions regarding the Houston Texans. What are their priorities? Who is on their radar?
Well, I absolutely know who I want. I know the guys we like.
Who are they going to select?
Fill out the card, give it to the commissioner right now.
We'll seek out answers to those questions and many more as the Texans Huddle Draft Preview Special starts right now.
Texans Huddle Draft Preview Special is brought to you in part by Papa John's. Order your pizza online today at papajohns.com. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this Draft Preview Special edition of Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Mark, we are about a week away from the draft. It feels like it's been an eternity. I know you're ready to get going on this.
Patty, I've been talking about nothing but the draft. Well, the new coaching staff and Bill O'Brien and all of that. But this has been a long wait since the team ended its regular season against Tennessee. And now you have the number one pick coming up. The good news is you have the pick. The bad news is you need a quarterback, and there's no clear-cut quarterback to go number one. The number one player on most teams' boards is probably Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, and those are kind of the two names, Jadeveon Clowney, whether it's Johnny Manziel, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater, whether it's Blake Bortles, that have been talked about all off season. But those aren't the only needs the Texans need. So, you know, as you look at those and as you look at that first pick, do you or how do you think the Texans are looking at that as a number one need, or do we look at how we take the first couple of picks?
I think they have to look at groupings here. Patty and Rick Smith, who will be on the show, will tell you that they don't like to reach for need. They know they need certain position groups. They need to address those, but you want to take the best player available. It looks like the best player available is Jadeveon Clowney, but who knows what the Texans have on their board? Maybe they've decided that Blake Bortles is the guy to be the quarterback, and yeah, maybe he's valued as a number four pick, but heck, you could take him at number one if you really need a quarterback, or Manziel, or Bridgewater, or whoever. Or maybe you take Clowney number one, and you address quarterback first pick of the second round Friday, where you will have the pick of maybe a Jimmy Garoppolo out of Eastern Illinois, or somebody else, A.J. McCarron, anyone? What about Zach Mettenberger from LSU with a rocket arm? There are a lot of choices. It's a deep draft. Bill O'Brien said they will draft a quarterback, but he didn't say when.
All right, the first name you threw out there was Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on him and what he would bring?
Well, he's awesome. I mean, he's a super freak as far as athletic ability. I mean, he dazzled everybody at the combine for the most part, and everyone's been talking about really the season before last season. This past season only had three sacks, but a lot of talk about, hey, maybe he was just waiting to see if he'd be the number one pick in the draft, taking his time, not getting compensated for his work, that kind of thing. Whatever the case is, most people agree he's going to make a lot of noise. And in this defense, maybe he's an outside linebacker more than a defensive end. You know, similar to what Mario Williams was starting to do in the Wade Phillips 3-4. Remember, Mario started out that 2011 season, five sacks in five games before he got hurt. So you could put a Clowney at outside linebacker in this defense. Heck, you'll find a spot for him because he's that good. In fact, let's hear what Teddy Bruschi, former Patriot and a Cronell pupil, had to say about Clowney.
I'd take Jadeveon Clowney number one and put his locker right next to J.J. Watts because I want those two forming that partnership. I'd tell them right now, fill out the card. Fill out the card, give it to the commissioner right now. I think this guy, I mean, is the number one quarterback. I mean, I'm tired of spraying perfume on all these quarterbacks to make them look more desirable than they really are. Each of them have problems. Are they worth a number one overall pick ahead of Jadeveon Clowney? I think not.
Well, Mark, Teddy Bruschi, clearly a big fan of Jadeveon Clowney's, and the Houston Texans have another former guy from South Carolina that played with Jadeveon in DJ Swearinger, and our Drew Doherty had a chance to catch up with him at Clowney's Pro Day.
It's a homecoming of sorts for DJ Swearinger, former South Carolina safety here at the old stadium where you used to. I just heard some people behind you say, lay the wood. Good to be home, huh?
Yes, sir. It's great to be home, man. Come back seeing some of these young guys, you know, make their money. And it's just great to be back.
Yeah. You know, the guy that's the headliner of all that group is Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. What'd you think when you saw him today?
He did what I always expected him to do, you know, come out here and, you know, do what he got to do, you know, to get where he wanted to get. And I think he made a good push for it today.
Yeah, you've been no stranger about your support for him. Mm-hmm. You think a lot of him as a former teammate, but you also recognize what he can do on the football field. That hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. What can this guy do in the NFL, do you think?
Destroy quarterbacks and give offensive coordinators the nightmares, man, because anytime you got a guy like that that can run and move the way he does, it's unstoppable, especially with a guy like J.J. Watt. And not even saying if we get him. If he goes any way he goes, man, he's going to be a playmaker.
And Mark Wall, Jadeveon Clowney may be everyone's clear consensus best guy on the board. There is no clear consensus as to who the fans want, but you got to think Johnny Manziel is on the top of that list.
He's polarizing, Patty, because obviously the Aggies love him, and a lot of other people as well, by the way. Local, regional legend Johnny Manziel, spectacular in college. How does that play out in the National Football League? It's a big mystery. He's not the biggest guy in the world. Okay, he's 6 feet, just about. Got a great arm, made tremendous plays. Mike Mayock, NFL.com and NFL Network draft expert, weighed in on Manziel during his pro day.
I think, number one, you have to have a concern that when he runs, it's intelligently. And number two, he's been so successful his entire life at improvising that I think it becomes a crutch. And at the next level, he can't just get out of the pocket and improvise. He's going to have to take advantage of protections, and that'll keep him healthy. It'll make him a better quarterback. So, Lance, the whole thing for me is, A, will he buy into being taught and coached to win within the pocket? And, B, once he stays in the pocket, can he do it? And you can't prove that at a pro day.
Well, Mark, so much to talk about, but before we close out this segment, just give me some of your best of the rest.
Well, you look at Khalil Mack, who is an outside linebacker from Buffalo, had a tremendous game against Ohio State, plays in the MAC, so how do you weigh that out? There have been some good players coming from the Mid-American Conference, but he should do well as an outside linebacker. Is he number one pick worthy? Not so sure about that. Also, Greg Robinson, the dynamite tackle from Auburn. Everyone says this guy is an off-the-charts kind of prospect, a can't-miss. We've heard that kind of talk before about some NFL prospects. Who knows, Patty? It's a tough decision, and the Texans have been very careful not to tip their hand.
Yeah, well, the one guy that probably does know and is not tipping his hand is General Manager Rick Smith, and I will visit with him after this break. Stay with us.
Gear up today with the latest Houston Texans, Nike jerseys, women's and kids apparel, t-shirts, hats, and much more at the Go Texans store inside Reliance Stadium. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and online anytime at shop.houstontexans.com.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle Draft Preview Special. As I mentioned, I had a chance to sit down and visit with Rick Smith. And Mark, boy, hard to believe this will be Rick's eighth draft. And wow, he's been very successful with his first-round picks, guys like J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, Whitney Mercilus, Brian Cushing. But boy, this one is just another notch above.
Well, you ratchet up the pressure with the number one pick in the draft. And remember, in 2006, the last time the Texans had the number one selection, Rick Smith got here a few weeks later. Technically, it was Charlie Casserly making that pick when the Gary Kubiak administration got rolling. So here he is with the number one selection and a coaching staff that's different from the last one. So you got to get the synergy going.
Yeah, well, obviously, with a week out from the draft, he's not going to talk specifics yet, but we did have a chance to sit down with him and talk about philosophy and that coaching staff. Now, we've talked about your draft philosophy over the years. Will you tell us if you actually have a philosophy, and is it different this year?
Well, we do have a philosophy. I do believe if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything, and so we do. We believe just, you know, overall, and from a draft perspective of drafting value versus need. And you hear that conversation, or you hear that phrase a lot. What that really means to us is we try to value these players on our draft board, independent of our team now, independent of any current situation that exists now, because I think if you do that, you have a tendency to, if you factor in need, then you have a tendency to fall victim to what's called confirmational bias. In other words, if you think you like somebody or you think you need something, then you're more apt to come to conclusions that support what the assumptions are. And so we try to eliminate all of that bias and try to go into the process very objectively and rank and value our players and rank and value the board according to the individual guy. And then we like to take those guys according to their value.
And when you talk about the philosophy, and Bill O'Brien has already told us that really, and we haven't really talked about him yet, but with him being the new head coach here, he says and feels that his philosophy and your philosophy are very much the same. Does that really kind of help going into this draft with you two kind of being on the same page like that?
It does, because that's a critical element to the success of the Concentric. We've got to have what I call a football expert, a personnel expert, and a coaching expert. They have to have shared visions of what the football team should look like. Because if you don't, then you run into problems. And so we do have very, very similar philosophies. The good thing is that it is a new system and scheme for me. And so there's some learning from my perspective that's been good and been fun. We've had some really good conversations and dialogue in the draft rooms, and it really has helped me understand the types of systems that we will employ. We've been able to communicate that to our scouts, and so I think we've got a really good handle on what we're looking for.
You know, we all know that different players have visited not only here, but NFL teams throughout the country. How, at this point and at this stage in the game, how important are those meetings to get to know these guys individually versus just what you see on film?
Well, via NFL player personnel rules, each club gets to bring in 30 guys. They get 30 visits to their club. It's a couple of different things. Number one, if it's a guy who was maybe not invited to the combine, but we've got grades on it, we think are draftable grades, and so you want to get a guy in and maybe give him a physical, maybe spend some more time with him. For guys that actually went to the combine, it's another set of data points to sit down with the young man again. If you need additional medical information, you can get that. If you need additional work on the board, on the film, in the film room with the coach, so that you really understand what the guy is, and so you get a handle on who he is. Again, it's all predicated on making sure that when we sit down, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we know exactly who these men are and what we're getting when we add them to our organization.
Kind of personal, not a personal question, but personal in style. Do you go into it, or is there kind of like a feeling that you kind of sort of feel like you know kind of who you want, or do you go back to that discipline that you have to keep an open mind and not have any outside noise, any outside sources, and keep your, mind open to everything until it gets right down to the final?
Well, I absolutely know who I want. I know the guys we like. Now, who will be there? Now, the fortunate thing about having the first pick is I know we have, I got the pick of the litter. And so I will know exactly who I want at that point. Now, the game is played is if there's an opportunity to move, and in this case, obviously, to move back, if somebody else wants to come up to that first pick, then you weigh what the opportunities are versus who the individual is that you want to take and what that value is relative to what the value that somebody may be offering you. But as you move through the draft, obviously you don't know who's going to be picked when. And so, as we go and that board starts to fall, we've already earmarked the guys that we like, the guys that we think will fit into our systems, the guys that we would like to see in our locker room, the guys that we think will be good guys in our community. So we've got a pretty good idea who those men are.
Well, Mark, we knew he wasn't going to tip his hand or anything, but really much appreciation for him to take time out this close to the draft and spend some time with us.
Patty, if you can't get Rick Smith to reveal the number one selection, no one can. Next up, though, I'm going to vacate this chair to make room for John Harris, who many of you have seen and heard before, a draft expert, a football expert, who's going to be working with us very closely here, Texans TV shows, HoustonTexans.com, Texans Radio. You're going to want to hear what John Harris has to say about this team and the draft next.
Stop by the Houston Texans Grill, located at City Center off I-10 at Beltway 8. The grill opens at 11 a.m. every day, and you can watch your favorite team on more than 65 high-definition flat-screen TVs. For more information, log on to HoustonTexansGrill.com.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, as promised, John Harris. Mark introduced him a little bit. Of course, most of you are very familiar with John's work in the area. Welcome to the show for the first time.
Well, thank you for having me. I mean, this is fantastic. This is—I just can't believe that I'm really here. Not so much. I'm excited to be sitting next to you, Patty, but just being here in the building and being around the Texans, and of course, a good friend of mine is—he has a high-ranking position here with the Texans, so I'm pretty excited about it all.
And that good friend, I'm assuming you're referring to new head coach Bill O'Brien. You actually went to college with him.
That's right. He is a year ahead of me. So when his eligibility was up, he became my coach. So he's my teammate for 2 years and then my coach for a third year. So I will be in select company in some sense. Andre Johnson has Bill O'Brien as a coach. I have Bill O'Brien as a coach. And I think what we're all going to see is a guy who lives with his emotions on his sleeve. He coaches that way. everything he does is that way. And I think we're going to see that. You're going to see a lot of passion for the game, but also for team. And it's all about this team winning a championship. That's all that matters to him. And that's all that's going to matter to him. And anybody that's brought into this building, it's all that's going to matter to them. So when we talk about free agents and the draft, if you're not about team, if you're not about this organization winning a championship, then you won't stay in this building.
So I guess your first day on the show, I probably shouldn't ask you to kind of rat him out with some teammate stories or anything. We'll save that for a little later in the year, maybe.
I have a few. I've been sworn to secrecy. The first day he was here, he said, no stories. Okay.
All right. Well, then we will talk draft. That's what you're kind of known for. You've got a great handle on not only the draft, but each individual player. So Mark and I have kind of talked ad nauseum about this first round. Let's move beyond that and start at 33 and sort of just your thoughts.
Sure. 33, and it somewhat depends on what they do in the first round. If it's a trade down scenario, there are a lot of different options, and depending on where they trade down to, can determine what they do at 33. But let's say that they stick to that first round pick, and as rumored, it's Jadeveon Clowney. So they're looking for quarterback. I think there are a few good ones at the top of that second round. One I really like is Jimmy Garoppolo out of Eastern Illinois. He played in a Baylor-like system. Quick release, can get out of the pocket, does play the game a little frenetically, plays sometimes too fast. He's got to slow the game down. He's one of the rare college quarterbacks that kind of needs to slow down as he goes to the next level. But a guy I think everybody's really going to like is LSU's Zach Mettenberger. He's got one of the biggest arms that you're going to find in any draft, much less this one. He has got an absolute cannon. And I think that howitzer, you think about Bill O'Brien last year with Christian Hackenberg, a young player at Penn State. He had a big arm and a lot of throws that he could make in that offense. Zach Mettenberger could make those throws within the Houston Texans offense. I know that's got to make this offensive staff very excited.
Well, ironically, our Drew Doherty had a chance to catch up with Zach Mettenberger at his pro day.
It's pretty amazing for someone who's gone through knee surgery to do what you're doing. How'd you feel?
I felt all right. I just hold myself to, sometimes an unrealistic standard. I did a lot of good things today, but there's a lot of things I want to continue to improve on. There at the end, my legs got kind of tired. I'm not quite the playing shape, but all things considering, 13 weeks out of surgery, I'm doing some pretty remarkable things.
Yeah, you talk about your legs tiring out. That's kind of to be expected. That's one of those things that can be improved upon, whereas arm strength is something that can't. What's your biggest strength overall as a football player, you think?
I think my toughness, mental and physical. I've showed that I can sit in the pocket and take a hit and still deliver an accurate ball downfield and, be mentally tough to handle everything that an SEC quarterback goes through, and that's probably the closest it is to an NFL quarterback. And I think whatever team does pick me, they're going to get a guy who's going to prepare week in and week out to be the best, and try to bring victory to the team every week.
How have your interactions with the Texans brass gone over the last couple of months when you have had the chance to talk with them?
They've been good, I think. Coach O'Brien is a great guy. He's a football genius and someone that, I'd really like to work with. But, every interaction I've had with him so far has been great.
Zach, best of luck to you down the line. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
An intriguing prospect. Any concerns for you about that ACL?
A little bit. I mean, it is his left leg, so it's his plant leg, and he really drives the football and plants hard off that left leg, and that's sort of what got him hurt in the first place against Arkansas back in late November. I do think he'll come out of it okay, but I think if Mettenberger is the selection at 33 – with Ryan Fitzpatrick already here, I think there is a bridge, so it'll give Zach some time to get ready if he is indeed the pick at 33.
All right, well, you are just chock full of great information. thank you for joining us on the show and look forward to working with you throughout the course of the season.
Thank you, Patty. Appreciate it.
All right, we have to take a time out here on Texas Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, while we're talking about draft day, there's another draft day, the movie, that we'll introduce you to. Stay with us.
So I appreciate that, Mr. Lee.
What? What did he say?
I just want to be a Brown, like you, Pop.
Yeah, I want that too.
The Texans Huddle Draft Preview Special is brought to you in part by Papa John's. Order your pizza online today at papajohns.com. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's.
All of our draft coverage is presented by Papa John's. Better ingredients, better pizza, and get half off your online order when the Texans win. Let's hope we get plenty of that this coming season.
Boy, not only are you the voice of the Texans, but you're the voice of the PSAs.
Well, I love pizza. Who doesn't?
All right, well, welcome back to Texans Huddle. You know, Mark, we've talked so much about the draft. One guy we haven't talked about at all really much is Arian Foster. Of course, left last season with an injury, but has had an interesting offseason.
Patty, he's an actor, okay? We know this about Arian. We've seen him on Hawaii Five-0 and some other stuff. And, you know, the thing about Arian on the football field, he's entering year 6. Digest that one for a moment, okay? He's the salty veteran now, but he's also a veteran actor. Maybe not quite an experienced thespian, but he is in the Draft Day movie with Kevin Costner, and they had a special screening at Houston Texans Grill recently.
What's going on, Mr. Weaver?
Did you hurt your hands? You need your hands, right?
I know. I just lost my head.
The movie is awesome, in my opinion. I mean, I might be a little biased because I'm in it, but I read the script beforehand, and it was a interesting script. Like, it was a page turner, kept me guessing. And, I'm just grateful to be a part of it. It was a fun project.
You know, kind of ironic for all players/actors to do this draft day. Arian Foster wasn't even drafted.
Wasn't even drafted. Undrafted free agent. Think about this. He was on the practice squad for the Texans, which means he was actually cut from the team at one point. That's amazing stuff. And Draft Day, apparently an amazing movie. I have not seen it yet, but I plan to.
But you will. All right, that's all the time we have for this week's show and for this special. But next week, it gets even better. Thursday night at 6, Mark and I are right here at Reliance Stadium live at the draft party. Drew Doherty will be in New York at Radio City Music Hall with live reports, so you do not want to miss that.
Really exciting stuff, Patty. And speaking of exciting, everyone has an opinion on the number one pick in the draft, including kids in the Houston area. Well, Texans fans submitted videos of their kids making their selection for the number one pick in the draft. It was on HoustonTexans.com. Let's take a look.
Molly, who do you think the Texans should draft?
The Redskins.
Who?
Redskins.
The Redskins?
Yeah. Texas Johnny Football!
I think the Houston Texans should pick Teddy Bridgewater because he's good. And also, the Texans are number one, the best in the league.
Don't burst my bubble. Pick Shadavion Clowney.
We need to save the pick.
With the Houston Texans' first pick, they should get David Carr, quarterback for Fresno State. He's a great all-around quarterback.
Clowney for the Jaws. Go Texans.
Layla, who do you want the Texans to draft?
Me.